Why calling a star performer a genius can ruin them. Ability-focused praise, such as, "you're a genius," can feel like welcome recognition while also creating an identity that must be protected. Rather than evaluating people, leaders should clearly describe the actions, judgments, and impact they observed, as well as how to reproduce them next time. Calling someone a genius evaluates their fixed ability rather than their performance, potentially raising the psychological cost of failure and asking for help. Praise becomes useful learning information when it specifically connects the observed situation and behavior with the impact that behavior produced. Rather than unconditionally praising effort itself, recognize effective strategies, the revision process, collaboration, and verification efforts. Praising a star performer only when they achieve good results can increase the risks of work becoming concentrated on them, knowledge hoarding, overwork, and team dependence. Praise should be delivered as promptly as possible, but whether it is public and how it is expressed should reflect the recipient's preferences and the organizational context. Praise is a powerful signal that moves people. However, statements that define a person's ability and identity, such as "you're the best," "you really are the ace," or "you're a genius," can produce results that differ from what was intended. This is because team members may focus less on the work itself and more on the pressure to maintain the perception that "I'm competent again this time." That does not mean praise should be eliminated. The key is to reduce praise that grades people and replace it with recognition that identifies behaviors and judgments they can use again. Genius is an identity judgment, not an explanation. The word genius compresses a complex process of success into a single innate ability. It gives the whole person a high rating without explaining what was observed or which actions were effective. Team members who repeatedly hear such expressions may feel the following pressures. They are expected to do well on easy tasks, while failure on difficult tasks becomes evidence of insufficient ability. Saying they do not know something or asking for help may feel as though it will cost them their reputation as the ace. They may choose tasks with a high likelihood of success over tasks that require trial and error. They may overestimate individual talent rather than the collaboration and environment that produced the results. Colleagues may also think the ace will take care of it, instead of scrutinizing that person's judgment. In fiction, simply establishing a character as a genius can quickly convey that character's extraordinary nature. Real organizations need observable judgments, actions, and results, not a character premise. A genius label that is not demonstrated through actual behavior can become a burden for the individual and look like unfair preferential treatment to colleagues. What research says, and does not say in research by Carol Dweck and Claudia Mueller, children who were praised for intelligence after completing a task were more likely than children praised for effort to choose goals aimed at proving their performance, and they showed less favorable responses in persistence and performance after failure. The year of publication can be confirmed in the original study. This research is widely cited as evidence that ability-focused praise, such as "you're smart," can create motivation that is vulnerable in the face of challenges. However, these findings should not be applied directly to every employee and every form of praise. Participants in the representative experiments were children. These were not experiments that directly tested adult work environments. The effects of praise vary not only with wording, but also with relationships, trust, whether it is public, evaluation systems, and reward structures. Process praise is not helpful if it sounds vague or controlling. Workplace field studies have also examined the effect of recognition on actual performance, but findings from a particular design cannot be generalized to every organization. Review papers synthesizing praise research explain that praise is not a simple stimulus that invariably raises or lowers intrinsic motivation. What matters is whether recipients interpret the words as information about their competence, interpret them as control and evaluation, and believe them to be sincere. How are recognition, praise, and feedback different? These three terms are used interchangeably in everyday life, but they serve different functions. Category central question, example caution recognition, what contribution was noticed? Because you organized the key issues before the meeting, we reached a decision more quickly. It may convey only gratitude while leaving out information that supports learning. Praise what is being evaluated positively. The explanation was clear. Without supporting evidence, it may sound like empty words or a rating. Feedback what should be maintained or changed. The comparison table showed the selection criteria. Please include both cost and risk next time as well. If it is overly prescriptive, it can reduce autonomy. A good leader's words connect all three functions. They recognize the contribution, provide the observed evidence, and leave information that can be used in future actions. Four principles of effective praise. 1. Describe observed behavior rather than personal traits instead of saying, "You're meticulous." Explain what you saw that led you to that conclusion. Vague wording, "It's perfect, as expected." Specific wording, "By checking again with three types of user permissions before deployment, you found an access error." Specific praise tells team members which behaviors they should repeat. It also gives colleagues clues for learning how success was achieved. 2. Connect behavior to its impact. Merely listing behaviors can make people feel watched. Connect the behavior to the impact it had on customers, the team, quality, or the schedule. Because you grouped customer questions by type, the support team did not have to repeatedly write the same answers. By asking for opposing views first, you helped us identify a risk that the meeting almost overlooked. Do not exaggerate the impact. Describe it only to the extent that it can be verified. Results with difficult-to-confirm causal relationships, such as increased sales, should not be attributed solely to one person. 3. Recognize effective processes and judgment process. Praise does not simply mean saying that someone worked hard. It means identifying the strategies and corrective actions that were effective, forming a hypothesis, and testing it through a small experiment, sharing an error quickly instead of hiding it, revising a draft to reflect customer feedback, reducing bottlenecks by transferring information to colleagues, recording the cause of a failure, and changing the next attempt accordingly. Telling someone who has repeatedly used an ineffective method for a long time, "It's fine because you made an effort," may communicate low expectations. Rather than focusing only on the amount of effort, consider the quality of the strategy, learning, and adjustment together. 4. Deliver it as close to the event as possible. Using consistent standards, when little time passes between the behavior and the praise, team members can more easily understand which moment is being discussed. Rather than waiting until the end of quarter review, it is more useful to briefly acknowledge it immediately after the work is completed. However, immediate does not mean impulsive. If the facts need to be confirmed or emotions are running high, speak after sorting things out. For someone who feels uncomfortable with public praise, a private message or one-on-one conversation may be more appropriate. Consistency also does not mean praising everyone the same number of times. It means recognizing contributions according to previously shared work standards rather than rank or personal closeness. A practical sentence structure for praise connecting the following three elements in order makes it easier to speak specifically without exaggeration. Observed situation and behavior, right arrow confirmed impact, right arrow point to reuse or expand here are some examples. In today's report, you clearly labeled uncertain figures as estimates. That allowed decision makers to distinguish confirmed values from assumptions. Please use the same labeling method in the next report. Even before identifying the cause of the incident, you shared the current status first. That allowed the support team to inform customers about the delay early. Next time, let's also record the initial items checked. During the meeting, you asked the new team member for their opinion again. We identified a usability issue that the existing proposal had missed. Please continue seeking input from people in different roles at the next planning meeting. If it is difficult for the leader to prescribe how the approach should be replicated, they can end with a question. Which judgment was most effective this time? Which approach would you like to maintain in the next project? What should we document so the team can use this method together? What can be recognized even when the result is poor? Praising a failed result as if it were a success erodes trust. Conversely, treating every part of the process as worthless when the result is poor encourages team members to hide risks and choose only safe tasks. In cases of failure, separate the result, the effective behavior, and the point for improvement. Result: our proposal was not selected by the customer this time. Recognition: it was good that you asked the customer for the reason immediately after the decision and shared it with the team. Improvement: next time, let's confirm early not only the price, but also the internal personnel. Required for implementation: do not stop at "it's okay" because you did your best. Confirm what was learned and what will be changed in the next attempt. This is how to preserve psychological safety without glorifying failure. When praise for an ace becomes a structural risk to the team repeatedly labeling one person, as the ace creates a problem that extends beyond individual motivation. If work and decision-making authority become concentrated in that person, it can grow into an operational risk for the organization. Risk possible signs: what the leader should do. Excessive concentration of work, difficult and urgent work, always goes to the same person. Review the workload and distribute responsibilities and opportunities. Avoidance of asking for help: the ace solves problems alone and reports them late. Positively recognize early sharing and the act of asking for help itself. Knowledge monopoly: only a particular person knows the procedure and there is no documentation. Evaluate documentation, pair work, and cross-training as contributions. Weakened scrutiny: colleagues, do not question the ace's judgment. Make dissenting and review roles part of the formal process. Perception of favoritism: colleagues who made similar contributions are not recognized. Make the criteria for praise public and observe less visible support work as well. Identity pressure: concealing mistakes, perfectionism, and avoiding rest begin to appear. Separate performance from personal worth and secure time off and backup personnel. Protecting a true ace does not mean giving that person more work and attaching grander labels to them. It means turning that person's judgment and knowledge into team capabilities and ensuring the work continues even in their absence. Praise leaders should avoid comparative praise. Unlike the other team members, you're clearly smart. This may only reinforce competition and hierarchy. Exaggerated praise: calling a minor correction the best result in company history reduces the credibility of future recognition. Controlling praise: a good employee should naturally do this. It looks like recognition, but demands obedience. Praise with an ulterior motive: if additional work is repeatedly assigned immediately after praise, recognition will be interpreted as a signal that more work is coming. Credit monopolizing praise: explaining a result created by several people as the genius of one highly visible individual. Linking character to results: expanding one success into "you're destined to succeed" or one failure into "as expected, you lack ability." How to turn praise into organizational learning data: do not stop at saying something positive to an individual. The behaviors that produce success can be retained as team knowledge. This is a separate operational mechanism that reduces dependence on one genius. Record the praised behavior in one sentence in the retrospective notes. Identify both the conditions and the collaborators that produce the result. Organize repeatable methods into checklists or case examples. Include early warnings, documentation, verification, and peer support, not just results, as items worthy of recognition. Regularly examine who is frequently recognized and who is left out to check for bias. The goal of praise is not to require team members to keep looking like a genius. It is to help them understand what they did well, ask questions, and learn even when facing difficult problems, and share their methods with colleagues.